Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is an honor and a privilege to be able to preach for you this morning. I preached full-time in Oklahoma for a year, and I preached off and on in Saipan, but it is the first opportunity that I've had to address the congregation here in the valley, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and I'm humbled that the elders have put that confidence in me. And immediately following the services today, I'll be available in the back for photographs because I only wear a tie once or twice a year, and some of you are going to want to remember that. And unfortunately, my wife and daughters are not able to be here this morning. They're still sick, struggling with the flu, so I guess they'll be watching from home. So I want to thank my wife, even though she was sick. She was a big help to me in helping me prepare for this day, and so I ask your prayers for them and their recovery. My day job involves applying conservation on the land, and we help farmers install conservation practices, and that often involves engineering practices, and so I am occasionally around heavy equipment and heavy equipment operators, and watching a skilled heavy equipment operator is an amazing sight, and watching an unskilled heavy equipment operator is also an amazing sight, but for different reasons. But I have seen a skilled backhoe operator take a bucket that could take out cow-sized chunks of soil, reach into a deep excavation, and pull a stone very carefully off the soil so lightly he does not disturb the soil beneath, and then lift it up and set it on the grass that were it an egg, it would not have broken. I have also seen a skilled bulldozer operator slice off an inch layer of soil across a parabolic curve, controlling a blade 8 feet wide and 4 feet high with such precision that he does not break the curve throughout. And it's amazing to see that much power under control. And so this morning I want you to consider with me a very large bulldozer, say a D7 or a D9, and imagine this potential piece of machinery, the potential power for this colossal piece of machinery. It can literally move mountains, this equipment. But if that bulldozer has no fuel in it, then it is worthless. It's sitting there, its potential is going to waste. And if it never runs, if the engine never fires up, the hydraulics never get power, it will sit there and eventually rot in the sun. And yet at that same time, if that same bulldozer is full of fuel and fired up, but there is no one at the controls, there's no one operating it, then this huge machine becomes an object of chaos and destruction. It will move neither left nor right except by the resistance of the objects that it is crushing and rolling over. And that could be someone's house or someone's car. This potential object is something to avoid, something that leaves only behind fear, pain, and ruin. And so now consider that same bulldozer with that skilled operator at the controls. The machine becomes a useful tool once more. And used for good, it can right many of the previous wrongs. It can build roads. It can build dams. It can construct lakes. It can lay the foundations for buildings. It can clear away the debris and decay of the wrongs in the past and make way for new beginnings. And so a bulldozer is a tool, and like any tool, if left idle, it benefits no one. If it's wielded wildly and out of control, it can cause great harm and great damage. But in the hands of a skilled user, it results in benefit to you and to others. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about a very powerful tool that we all have access to, and that is the Word of God. And specifically, I'm going to talk about knowledge of the Scriptures and the Word of God, and about passion. Now, the word passion has a bit of a negative connotation in the world today. Typically, it's associated with lust of the flesh. But we're talking about passion from the spiritual point of view. You may call it zeal. You may call it fervor. But passion that I'm going to be referring to is the strong desire to know God, and more importantly, to help others know God. And the Bible provides warnings and guidance on the use of both knowledge and passion, spiritual fervor. And we can summarize the warnings and teachings on knowledge and passion by warning against having no knowledge and no passion, by warning against having knowledge but no passion to use that knowledge, and by warning against having great passion but no knowledge necessary to keep that passion under control and put it to useful, to good use. And so first this morning we'll look at having no knowledge and no passion. And quite frankly, someone who has neither knowledge nor passion is a lost soul. They neither know about God nor care about God, and they don't know that they don't care about God. And unfortunately, there are a great many people who call themselves Christians that can be numbered among this group. On the one hand, we have people who are atheists and claim there is no God. On the other, we have those who call themselves agnostic, and they care not enough to find out about God if there is a God. And then we have those other Christians, or people who claim to be Christians, who believe in God and yet think that is the end of their journey. They have no further to go. They have reached the point that they need to be in. And so therefore, no further study or action is required. In America today, depending upon which poll you listen to, there are upwards of 60% of the citizenry who claim Christianity is their chosen religion. And yet we can see that there are not 60% of the population in the church today. And there are a lot of people who go to church, but they choose not to study the Bible that they have on a regular basis. They attend the church that their parents attended because that's where their parents attend. They believe what the preacher tells them to believe, and their service is based only upon whatever service the preacher is involved in. And they have no further continuance in the church whatsoever or in the service of the Lord. There are literally thousands and thousands of Bibles in our country and around the world that sit on shelves and are never opened. It's like that bulldozer rotting in the sun, all that power and potential not being put to good use. It's that tool, the Bible, sitting there is a useless tool. It is not going to protect them, nor guide them, nor save them. And brothers and sisters, that is not the Bible's fault. No more than it is the bulldozer's fault that no one puts fuel into it. It is not a shortcoming of the Bible that it is not being used. The Bible is a tool, and when it's used properly, it can bring about great changes in people and in the world. The failing is not in the tool that's not being used. It's in the owner of that tool who chooses not to use it. Let's look real quick at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. This word of God is living and active. It is living and powerful. It's not a dead tool. It is up to us to use it. We read in John, the first part of John, John chapter 1, verse 1, that the Word was with God in the beginning. And the Word was God. And in verse 14, we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and untruth. You see, Jesus made Himself known to the world. And today, God is not hiding from us. He is not preventing people from knowing Him. Having the knowledge of God is not a difficult thing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. And here Paul is preaching to the Romans. And he says in verse 26, "And He that is God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their predappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us." So you see, God is not far from each of us. He wants to be found. It is not hard to find something that desires to be found. And those of us who do, those people in the world that do not seek God, do not have a knowledge of God, simply have not found God, are not trying to find God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we're told that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him, those who try, who strive after Him. And those who want to have a knowledge of Him will have a knowledge of Him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew chapter 7, "Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open." And so God is not hiding from us. It is not difficult to attain a knowledge of Him. He is waiting to reveal Himself to whomever chooses to find Him. And God so loved the world, we're told in John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. That kind of sacrifice would be of no benefit to anyone if he hid himself, if it was impossible to come to God, even if it was difficult to come to God. God only made that sacrifice because He desired people to know Him. He desires all mankind to know Him. And so what it comes down to, plain and simple, is that people who don't know God don't want to know God. And now I know that sounds kind of harsh, and it is a generality. But people who don't know God don't want to know God because God has revealed Himself to all of mankind. Now we all know sincere, forthright, and dedicated people who have submitted themselves to God. But unfortunately, they are following false teachings, doctrines held by men, false prophets. And so though they want to be in the right with God, they are down the incorrect path. They are following man-made doctrines and covenants, man-made institutions. They are part of churches built by men and not by Christ. And it is true that the false prophets, the false teachers, bear responsibility for those that are strayed. It's also true that those of us that had the tools and had the knowledge, that those out there that do not have that information, some of the responsibility falls upon us that do have the truth and tools and the knowledge. But what it comes down to is that each and every individual is ultimately responsible for his or her own salvation. We cannot be blamed for those that do not accept Christ. And those that do not accept Christ cannot blame others for their own lack of faith and belief. And this leads me to a critical importance of having a solid knowledge of the Scriptures, so that we ourselves are not led astray by false teachers and false doctrines, and that we can withstand the troubles and trials of life and the howling winds of the world, but also so that we know how to lead others who are lost to the gospel. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God laments about the lack of knowledge of His people. And He says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." And so the people had forgotten the knowledge that they had of God. And God laments that you knew me, but you chose not to act upon it. And He laments that the new generation does not know Him, though He has revealed Himself to them. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20... we read about how God has revealed Himself to us. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God reveals Himself to us even through His heavens, through His creation. And no man has an excuse. And ultimately the responsibility lies upon us all to seek after God and gain that knowledge of Him. And so it's critically important for us to continue to grow in knowledge. And knowledge, gaining knowledge, is not a one-time activity. It's continual. Throughout our entire life, we grow in spiritual maturity. We grow in knowledge. And I know that there are many people in the congregation here in the valley that have a far greater knowledge of the scriptures than I do. But even they must continue to grow every day. Even they can learn something new about the Lord and about the scriptures. And so God reveals himself to us and God makes himself known to us. And he gives within each of us the desire to know him. And so those who do not know God have not sought him, or they have rejected him willingly. In our society today, ignorance of the law is no excuse. If we violate the law of the land, we go before the judge and we tell the judge, "I'm sorry, Your Honor, I did not know that I was breaking the law." That will not get you out of punishment, because it is the responsibility of every citizen to read and know the law. And the law is available in the courthouse for anybody who chooses to see it. You just need to go in there and ask for it, and it will be provided to you. And the same is true scripturally, spiritually. In God's law, it is responsibility for all reasoning adults to know the law of God. And when we stand before the throne of God, we will not be able to use the excuse of, "I'm sorry, God, I didn't know that I was living in sin." Because God has brought his word to us, and he has revealed himself to us, and it's the responsibility of every reasoning adult to seek God out and find out what God's will is for them in their life. Now, most of you this morning indicate just by your presence that you have some knowledge of the scriptures. You know that God requires you to be in the first day of the week worshiping him and fellowshipping with fellow Christians. And you also know by your presence that you indicate by your presence that you have some passion for the Lord, because it motivated you to get out of bed and to brush your teeth, hopefully most of you, and to come to worship. And that passion motivated you to give your time and commitment to be here rather than being someone else. And I can say with confidence that the church in the valley is a dynamic and growing and active church. But I can also say with confidence that this congregation has room to improve in both knowledge and in passion. The reason I said it is because those are spiritual journeys that are continual. The destination does not reach until that day before we stand before our throne of our Lord. And so even though some of us are strong in knowledge, we can all improve in knowledge. Even though some of us are strong in passion, we can all improve in passion. And those of us that are low in knowledge and low in passion, we benefit the entire congregation, the entire body, with each bit of knowledge we gain and with each increase in our passion and desire. We want to be as careful as can be to avoid the church of Laodicea that we read about in Revelation chapter 3. For in Revelation chapter 3, the angel of the Lord warns Laodicea that because they are neither hot nor cold, but only lukewarm, God is going to cast them out. He said, "You have knowledge, but you're not acting upon that knowledge. You have knowledge of me, but you have no passion to heat you up, to light you on fire for the Lord." And we want to avoid being like thousands of people in the world today who profess to be Christians, but who fail to follow the commandments of the Lord that are easily read and recognized in the Bible and that show us what God requires of us. And so we need to constantly improve our knowledge of the Scriptures so that we can know what God expects of us, and also that we can tell others what God expects of them. Let's look at the scripture for today, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that phrase, "rightly dividing," is particularly powerful to us today, since we live in a world where there are dozens and dozens of different denominations and sects and doctrines among the Christian faith. And many people outside of the Christianity will look at Christianity as a whole and they will justifiably ask, how can they all claim to read the same book and yet believe so many different things? But God is a God of order and not chaos. And he made his message very simple and very clear. And we can have confidence to know that what we read is true. And we know it's because he tells us so. Look at John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So Jesus told us that if we abide in his word, we can know the truth, and that truth will make us free. But that word abide means to live in, to dwell in, and make it a constant part of our life. It cannot be an occasional thing for us. The scriptures cannot be a convenience for us. We cannot get to them when it is a good timing for us. We must live in the word. We must abide in the word. And then we can know the truth. If we spend our time studying the word, we can gain knowledge of it. And we can know that what we're doing is correct, because we can know that if our actions are aligned with the word of God, then we have the truth and we're living the truth. Another problem, another thing to be aware of, is having knowledge but no passion. Knowledge is, of course, a good thing. It's something to be desired, something to be sought after. We read about that from the teacher in Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll read three different passages in Proverbs, three of just many that are possible. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the teacher says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so it's good to have knowledge. And acknowledging God as the Creator and standing in awe of Him is the beginning of that knowledge to understanding and knowing God. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." And also Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seek knowledge." And so we see that knowledge is valuable. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is something to be sought after, like great treasure. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, that knowledge is powerful. Knowledge is something that we need in order to be effective for God. We cannot have only passion, only fervor, without the knowledge of the Scriptures to make our fervor useful. Let's look at Acts chapter 18. And here we read about a gospel preacher by the name of Apollos. And he was passionate, fervent for the Lord. And in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, we read about Apollos, and it says that he was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. Now, Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures. Why? Because he knew the Scriptures, because he understood them. He himself may have been a scrawny guy, small and unappealing. We know that Paul wasn't all that much to look at, but he was mighty in the Scriptures. He had that mighty power because of his knowledge in the Scriptures, and yet even he needed to grow. And we read in verse 26 that Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And then, much to Apollos' credit, he did not shrink away from that instruction. Rather, he rose to that occasion and he continued to preach. And in verse 28, we read that he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is Christ. So Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures, mighty in the Lord, because he had that knowledge, and yet even he grew spiritually. He was on a continual path to growth. He increased in knowledge, and his ministry became even more effective. And with that knowledge of the Bible, you and I, with the strong knowledge of the Bible, can help save souls. Now, Christ does the saving. We merely lead people to the cross. But we have that potential to help save souls. With this Word of God, we can help change lives for the better. We can pull the despair, people out of the pits of despair. We can heal broken families. We can even cheat death by showing people the way to eternal life. Now that, brothers and sisters, is real power. And all of us have access to that power through the Word of God. But only if we use it. And only if we use it correctly. And then only if we use it according to the commandments and the precepts and the doctrines that are within the words and not use it incorrectly. Because knowledge alone won't save you. Just knowing these will not save you. They're not going to be a test to get into heaven. God is not going to ask you if you can name all the sons of Moses or Noah. God's not going to ask you if you can name the 14 apostles or how many scriptures that you've memorized. God is only going to judge you by the type of service that you gave to Him and where your heart was and whether you believed in the Son who sent Him. So knowledge is only part of the service. We also need that passion, the zeal, the spiritual fervor. And so having knowledge and no passion is like that bulldozer sitting there with no fuel in the tank. It benefits no one. And James tells us that faith without works is dead. And he also tells us that knowledge without action is dead. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And that, brothers and sisters, is what knowledge is without power. Looking at your face in the mirror and walking away and forgetting what you look like, that makes the mirror useless. Reading the Word of God and then going away and failing it to apply it to your life, that makes that tool useless to you. James tells us that our faith is worthless if we don't express it through action. And he also tells us that our knowledge of Scriptures is useless if we don't put it into action. And so either way, that bulldozer sits there, unused and ineffective, rusting away, its potential never utilized. If you have faith in the Word of God, but you don't obey it or act upon it, then your faith is dead. We're also warned against having lots and lots of passion or fervor and zeal without the proper knowledge needed to keep that constructive. A rusting, useless bulldozer is a waste, but a bulldozer fully fueled and running without a competent operator is a hazard and a menace, crushing everything in its path. And that leaves us to the danger of having passion without the knowledge necessary to make it constructive. It's good to have passion for the Lord. We need to have passion for the Lord. I heard a powerful anecdote once, and I actually think I heard Robert mention the same thing from the Scripture once. But it goes like this. A young man, a young preacher, was struggling with inspiring his congregation and building his ministry. And so he sought out the advice of an older minister, and he asked him what he could do to increase participation among his congregation and to increase the numbers of the church. And the old, wise old preacher said, "Young man, light yourself on fire, and people will come from miles around just to watch you burn." And you see, that fervor, that passion for the Lord is exciting and it's catching. And if we're excited for the Lord, if we're excited about the gospel, if we're excited about the Bible and the Scriptures and what it means to us in our lives and how it's affected our lives and how it changes us and how it changes others, people will see that. They'll be inspired by that. They'll be drawn to it and they'll want to be a part of that. But unfortunately, in the world today, there's a lot of charisma and not a whole lot of knowledge. And so people go out and they have a lot of inspiration, a lot of power, and they're all gung-ho for the Lord, but they don't have the knowledge of the Scriptures to back up their zeal. And either they themselves burn out, or they set other people on fire and then leave them in the cold to burn out. And those burnout souls are turned off by the gospel, and it's so much harder for them to come back. God longs for us to long for Him. He doesn't just want us to study His Word, but also to love Him and to desire to be with Him. And so that passion is necessary. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. And we'll start in Psalms 42. And in Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, it reads, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So like a deer pants for the water, like someone who's desperately thirsty for the Lord, we should desire God. Look at Psalm 119, verse 20. And again, within the Psalms, there are many such passages that we could read. Psalm 119, verse 20. "My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times." Look at Psalm 119, verse 72. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." And so we should long for, desire, have a fervent passion for the Lord and for the Scriptures. And Paul knew the importance of having zeal. He said in Romans 12, verse 11, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." That spiritual fervor, that passion of the heart, is motivation that causes us to spread the gospel. It motivates us to read our Bible. Now, I myself am a pretty calm and laid-back sort of guy. And having passion and fervor for the Lord doesn't mean we walk around all the time with a glassy-eyed look on our face, singing hallelujah randomly as we walk through Walmart. There are times for that great ecstatic joy for the Lord. There are times when we should rejoice and lift our hands and sing hallelujah. So God is not calling us to have a wild look upon us like we're constantly in search of gold, smelling gold. But we need to have some excitement for the Lord. We need to be motivated to schedule time for the Lord and to protect that time in our day. We need to be motivated to come to worship every single time, not just when it's convenient for us, not just when we have nothing better to do. We need to be motivated enough to reach out to our brothers and sisters who are struggling. To reach out to our brothers and sisters who we know are struggling with sin or in need. We need to be motivated enough to go across the street to our neighbor or reach out to our coworker and try and share the gospel with them. And let them know that you have something that they desperately need in their lives. That you have something that has changed your life for the better and you want to share it with them. And it definitely takes passion on your part to make the Scriptures meaningful in the lives of others around you. Let's look at Judas. Judas Iscariot knew as much about Jesus as anyone did. But he didn't have passion for Christ, for the Lord. Judas was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Judas was there when Jesus blessed and forgave the prostitute. Judas was there when Jesus healed the blind. Judas was there when Jesus cast out demons. Judas was there through all of the great miracles of Christ. He literally sat at the feet of God. And yet it wasn't belief that Judas needed. He was damned by his lack of passion. He had all the knowledge that he needed. He lacked his faith. And so you see that both knowledge and passion are necessary for us in our spiritual walk. We need both knowledge and passion, and we should seek after both knowledge and passion as if it was precious treasure. And the Bible warns us that having passion without knowledge can be dangerous and counterproductive to the cause of Christ, just as a bulldozer that's fired up and running, but knowing sitting at the controls. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Proverbs 19, verse 2. But it's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And the sins who hasten with his feet. And he sins who hastens with his feet. And so we see that we need to have knowledge and temper our passion with that knowledge. If we don't take the time to gain knowledge of the Scriptures to back up our beliefs, we're either going to be discredited or we're going to cause others to lose their faith, and or we'll end up losing our faith ourselves. And I'm sure you've come across many people who are on fire for the Lord, and they're sharing the gospel in a way that lacked love and peace because they're jabbing their fingers in someone's face and saying, "You're a sinner, you're going to go to hell." But obviously, they did not read 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "Without love, we have nothing." Or in 1 Corinthians 8:11, where it says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." And so we need to share our faith with love according to the Scriptures. Because yes, Jesus told people to repent. And yes, Jesus' people warned sinners of the fires of hell and of judgment. And yes, Jesus' people showed righteous indignation and anger at times. But he did it all in love. And so like a bulldozer without a driver, people who toss out Scripture and doctrine without a full understanding of the content, the audience, the purpose, and the intent cause more harm than good. We need to use the Scriptures to inspire, not to intimidate, to encourage, and not to belittle. A scalpel is a tool, and with it a madman can take a life, but a surgeon can save a life. Fire is a tool, and with it you can warm your house or you can burn it to the ground. And a bulldozer is a tool, and with it you can build a road or you can destroy a road. And the Scriptures are a tool, and with it you can tear someone down or you can show someone the way to salvation. And it comes down to this. Study your Bible and then apply it, what you learn to your life, day to day and every day. Don't read your Bible and take no action on it. And then don't leave your Bible sitting there idle without ever opening it. A person who learns the Bible but does not live the Bible does not understand the Bible, because God makes himself clear and known to us. I didn't deliver this message this morning because I feel that the Valley Church of Christ is either lacking in knowledge or passion. I hope that these words will encourage you to gain in both knowledge and passion. Of course, these are points that I myself need to improve in. But as we conclude today, I'm going to look real briefly at the Word of God from the Word of God in the Word of God. That is, what did Jesus say in the Word of God about himself? In John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," in John 14:15. And in Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Those aren't my words, they're the words of Jesus Christ. I hope these words encourage you some today, that you will grow in knowledge and a passion, and I thank you very much for the privilege and the honor of preaching for you this morning. I hope that these have inspired you, and of course the message is open. If the words of Jesus have pricked your heart and you need to accept him, if you want to grow in knowledge, the invitation is always open. And if somehow you have strayed and you want to come back to the Lord, you need prayers of church, again, the invitation is open. Will you come forward for the elders to take your requests while we stand and sing our invitation song?